I'll use this microphone. It's a bit easier with the mask and everything else. Let's pray together. Our Father, we do praise you for your word. And we pray, Lord, that we would feast on it this morning, that you would nourish us by it, that you would change us by your spirit, that you would be active and re-energizing us as you work in us. And we pray this in your name. Amen. Well, let me say Happy New Year again to you. How many times have you said that so far since the other day? Happy New Year, Happy New Year. We went for a run the other day and said Happy New Year to everyone that we went past on that way. And we say it because we want it. We want each other to be happy in this new. We want others to be happy. I know you want to be happy. I know that you want others to be happy. To be happy is a universal desire. There is no one who wants to be unhappy, is there? Aristotle said, happiness is the meaning and the purpose of life, the whole aim and end of human existence. Pascal said, all people seek happiness. There is, without exception, whatever different means they employ, they all tend to this end. We all want to be happy, and we all have our individual sources of happiness. We all look for happiness in different places. Happiness, though, has a variable shelf life, doesn't it? Happiness comes and goes. Happiness has its highs and lows. 2022 will have its highs and lows, its mountaintops and its valleys. Happiness, if we're honest, is fleeting. And it's true that we can't be happy all the time. That would just be annoying. But what we do is we find ourselves on a quest for happiness. We find ourselves on a quest for happiness, and we join a quest for happiness. So when we say Happy New Year, we are looking each other in the eye and saying 2022 will be a quest for happiness. And we go on that quest through life. I wonder what resolutions you have made for 2022. Anyone got any interesting ones? I saw a guy just like me running around the Oval at midday on New Year's Day, and I knew that was the first time he'd done that for a long time, and I knew that he had intended to do it the next day. We all make these New Year's resolutions because we want to be happy. We want to lose weight because we think losing weight will make us happy. We want to read a book a day because we think reading a book a day will make us happy. And if we're honest, we work hard to find happiness. I don't know how you're feeling about 2022. I don't know what you faced in 2021. But I reckon we all need a bit of happiness, don't we? Psalm 1 that we're looking at this morning as we kick off this series, Summer Delights, promises to help us to be happy. Do you see that, how it started? 1 verse 1, happy are those. Other translations, if you've got a different Bible, other translations say blessed are those. The Hebrew word isha means blessed or happy. And to be blessed or happy is to experience the full benefits of being a child of God, of being a daughter and or son of God. Verse 3 of our psalm really is the heart of this psalm. And it's a wonderful picture of the happy or blessed person. Did you see that? Have a look with me at verse 3. The happy or blessed person, they are like trees planted by streams of water, which yield their fruit in its season, and their leaves do not wither. In all that they do, they prosper. What a wonderful picture that is. In all that they do, they prosper. It's a wonderful picture of growth, of flourishing, and prosperity. It's an image that's meant to be appealing. We're meant to read this psalm. It's a song, in fact. And we're meant to hear this song and sing this song And this image, verse 3, of this tree planted by streams of living water is meant to be appealing. We're meant to want to be a piece of the action. It's the equivalent of the TV ad showing the dream car or the dream house or the dream body. We're meant to want this life. And it is a life that we were designed to live. You and I, if we're made by God, and all of us here are made by God, we were designed to know the joy of doing life with God. We were designed to know the fulfillment of serving God. We were designed to know the assurance and the hope that only comes from God and from the eternal life that He offers. And it's something I want this year. I want to be a tree. What's your New Year's resolution, Andy? To be a tree. A tree planted by streams of living water. I want that for myself. I'm praying that for you this year, that you would each be like a tree planted by streams of living water. Now, that is the heart of the psalm. And this psalm really has two things to unpack for us, to help us to get to be that tree. Two things for us this morning. Firstly, a warning, and then an invitation. So firstly, a warning. Let me read from verse 1. A psalm says, "Happy are those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or take the path that sinners tread, or sit in the seat of scoffers." Psalm 1 is like a grand overture of the Psalms. It's a song that sets the foundation for the rest of the whole book. A book that is often referred to as the hymn book of God's people Israel. But the opening line starts out with stating something pretty obvious, doesn't it? Happy are those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, who take the path that sinners tread, or sit in the seat of scoffers. Psalm 1, verse 1 says, if you want to be happy, don't follow the advice of con artists. Don't follow evildoers. Don't follow the people that do not follow God. Don't sit with the people who mock and jeer and deride God. Now, if you were wanting to follow God, if you want to give some advice to people about how to be the happy people of God, this would be pretty obvious stuff, I reckon. And it sounds simple, doesn't it? As you read it, it sounds obvious. But the reason that King David starts this song with this call is that I think he knows just how we struggle with this. See, if we're honest, we struggle to love God with all our heart, soul, and mind and strength that we've been called to do, that we've been designed to do. We struggle with that because we are corrupted by sin. We've been corrupted by sin. And the whole of the Bible story makes it clear that instinctively, humans cannot love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. God has created us to enjoy the most intimate, loving relationship with Him, our Creator, to follow His ways, to follow His path, to sit as His people. But sin has caused a malfunction. Our rebellion, our desire to do life our own way has caused a malfunction. One of the best inventions I am most thankful for is our GPS. It has saved my bacon many a time. I remember when Kim and I first got married and we were living in Melbourne, and we just had about 10 arguments in the first week of being in this new city because one of us had the map upside down time after time. And we bought a GPS, and it's just saved my bacon. It saved my marriage. It saved my bacon. And the thing about a GPS is there's nothing worse than when it goes wrong, as it did for this guy, Robert Ziegler. He was a 37-year-old delivery driver in Switzerland who was following his GPS. He was delivering something until an error led him up a goat track on a very high mountain. He said, I was hoping that I'd be brought back to the road, but the GPS kept saying to go forward. It wasn't until I couldn't go forward or turn back around that I realized I was trapped on a goat track. So stuck up a mountaintop, he called for help. He called the RAC or whatever, at the AA, and he got flown out by the rescue track, including his van. Here it is. It's incredible, isn't it? He got stuck up this mountain track, and he was rescued with his van. See, the thing is about sin is that even if we want to go the right way, sin pulls us away from loving God, honoring God with all our hearts, souls, minds, and strength. Sin takes us away from the loving rule of God. It stops us from being this tree planted by living streams of living water. King David knows this all too well. He is the writer of this song, and he knows all too well that we can easily go off track. If you know anything about him, he was a king chosen by God. He was loved by God. He fought for God. He did the thing with Goliath, and he was the warrior king, one of the greatest kings in the Old Testament. But yet, if you know David's story, you know that he was a man whose GPS had malfunctioned. He was a broken man who went down the wrong path. He committed adultery with a married woman called Bathsheba. He got her pregnant, then got caught in a web of lies and deceits, which climaxed in King David having Bathsheba's husband killed to cover up his sin. Pretty brutal stuff. Pretty brutal story. So when King David sings, "Happy are those who do not follow the advice of the wicked," he knows what he's talking about. When he sings, "Happy are those who do not follow the advice of the wicked or take the path that sinners tread," he is talking about murder and adultery and lies and deceit. Verse 1 and verse 1 is, they're loaded words. He's been there, he's done that, he's got the t-shirt. He knows what it means to live with a broken GPS. He knows what it means that left to our own devices, on our own, we'll go the path of evil, we'll go the path of sin, we'll go the path of scoffing very easily. The Bible says we love the darkness. We love the darkness all too much. Perhaps you're here this morning and you're aware of that. You want to walk in the light, but you just love the darkness. You want to do the right thing, but you just find yourself in the darkness. You want to live for God, but you find yourself standing on that path with the evil and with the scoffers and the brokenness of this world. Perhaps you're aware of that this morning. Perhaps you're here this morning and you know the destruction caused by such brokenness. Perhaps you know the destruction of someone taking the wrong path and sinning against you. You know what it means for someone to follow the advice of the wicked. You know what it means for someone else to take the path that sinners tread, because you're feeling the bruises and the wounds of it. You've been hurt and you've been broken by someone following the advice of the wicked. Perhaps you know that this morning. Perhaps you want the goodness of God. Perhaps you want to be this tree flourishing, planted by streams of living water. But you just find it impossible because your brokenness is too great, or your propensity just to follow the wrong path is just too powerful. Friends, if that's you, know this morning that Psalm 1 is not written to condemn you. It's not written to rub salt in the wounds. It's written to restore you. It's written to restore you so that you would take your brokenness and you would plant it by a stream, and the living water of God would flourish it. That is why our psalm is in the Bible. That is the song that David sings to us this morning. God takes us as we are, but he doesn't leave us as we are. And we get this warning, but we get this wonderful invitation, and that's what we hear in verse 2. Let me read from verse 1 again. Happy are those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or take the path that sinners tread, or sit in the seat of scoffers. But their delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law they meditate day and night. David invites us, invites you, invites me to delight in the law of the Lord. When he says the law of the Lord, he means the Bible, the whole of God's written words. And I wonder whether you spotted the key to delighting in the Bible. The key is there to meditate on it day and night. To meditate on it day and night. In Eastern secular meditation, the goal of that practice is to empty your mind, to sit there and empty your mind. But the goal of Christian meditation is to fill one's mind, to fill your mind with God's word, to fill your mind with God's law, to fill your mind with the gospel, to fill your mind with God's promises, God's encouragement, God's rebuke, God's grace, God's guidance, to fill your mind with the good stuff. Now, the temptation when the pastor says, read your Bible, or you think about reading your Bible, you can fall into this dry academic way of reading the Bible. And you can fall into this dry academic way of loving God. You can know lots of facts about God. You can know lots about the Bible. You can know lots of theology, maybe some Greek. But it's all a bit heartless, all a bit lacking some emotion and authenticity. And it can leave us with lives looking just like everyone else's lives who lives in Rockingham. On the flip side, you can be all heart and no mind. So you can fall into this anti-intellectualism and say it's not about thinking, it's not about reading, it's about experiencing, and it's about emotion and the emotion of the love of God. And we can find ourselves singing our hearts out, pouring emotion out in church, being full of passion and enthusiasm and oozing all of that for God on a Sunday. But because our minds are not filled, because we're not meditating on the good word of God, we can fall over like a house of cards during the week because we haven't got the good stuff circulating around in our minds. And when suffering comes or temptation comes, we can easily be knocked over, knocked away from Jesus. And our lives look just like everyone else's lives here in Rockingham. One writer puts this idea of meditating on God's word nicely. He says, thinking well is integral to acting righteously. Truth and spirituality are of a piece. To know the truth is to do it. There's no dichotomy between the two. To be spiritual is to know and both do the truth. See, as we meditate on God's word, we fill our minds with what Jesus has done. We fill our minds with how Jesus has liberated us from the world. And as we do that, we cannot help but be moved. You cannot help but when you understand that God entered human history, entered our story, who lived the life that we couldn't live, who died the death that we should die, who rose so that we should rise too, undeserving as we are. We cannot help but be moved in our innermost being and stirred in our emotions. And as we do that, as we fill our minds with this glorious stuff that God has done for us, we're transformed by Jesus from having hostile minds, minds with a broken GPS, to minds and hearts and souls and strength that are rewired and reorientated. We're reorientated by the wonderful hope of the gospel that takes us as we are but doesn't leave us as we are, that transforms our hearts, transforms our souls, transforms all of our beings so that we would know joy and we would delight. The Apostle Paul in Romans 12 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." See, when it comes to understanding transformation, you can't get Selling Homes Australia mixed up with The Biggest Loser. Do you watch those TV shows? You see, on Selling Homes Australia, they take an awful house and it's falling down and it's just horrible. And overnight they transform it into something beautiful. Whereas on The Biggest Loser, they're in for the long haul. They're in for the long haul with a vision and hard work that with transformation that takes place over time. This is how Jesus transforms us. He transforms us over time. This is how he works when we delight in the law of the Lord. He plants us by a stream of living water, and that water gets into us by his Spirit and transforms us over time. See, God takes us. He saves us. He looks on our imperfections. And he sees Jesus from the moment you become a Christian. He looks on you and sees Jesus. But then for the rest of our years, the rest of our days, he works on us, transforming us into the likeness of Jesus. Sometimes that will be painful. Sometimes that will be joyous. But as we meditate on his word day and night, as we fill our souls with the good stuff, he transforms us. The Apostle Paul writes in Colossians chapter 3, "Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God." This is a guy called Destin Sadlin, and he's an engineer from America. And he wanted to see if it was possible to unlearn how to ride a bike. So he invented the backwards bike. He took a bike and he hacked it so that when you turn left, the bike went right. And when you turn right, the bike went left. And initially it was impossible to ride. It was impossible to ride because when you learn to ride a bike, your mind gets wired into riding that bike. You instinctively adjust the steering and you balance on your bike because that's just the way that you don't think about it, you just do it. So when you jump on the backwards bike, you just can't just switch over. But after many months of trying, many grazes, Destin Sadlin learned to ride the backwards bike. He did the impossible. He rode the backwards bike, and his brain eventually switched as he did it time and time and time again. His brain switched. So too does God change our minds and change our brains and change our delight as we meditate on God's word day and night. God isn't saying, David isn't saying, read your Bible day and night. He's saying, read your Bible and then let that go in and let that rewire your brain. Let the word of God change you, rewire you, reorientate you, and restore you. And it's true, as we set our minds on what Jesus has done for us, as we set our minds on what Jesus is doing in our world as we set our minds on the certainty of being with Jesus for eternity. He transforms us. He chisels us into this beautiful likeness of Christ. The preacher John Piper puts this brilliantly. He says, "The main reason God has given us minds is that we might seek out and find all the reasons that exist for treasuring him in all things and above all things. He created the world so that through it and above it, we might treasure him. The more we see of his surpassing greatness and knowledge and wisdom and power and justice and wrath and mercy and patience and goodness and grace and love, the more we will treasure him. And the more we treasure him, the more he is consciously and joyfully glorified." I want to appeal to you in 2022. Let Jesus do his work on you. You haven't made it. I haven't made it. And in the age of distraction and digital distraction with those red dots that flash everywhere and things on your devices that are pinging at you 24/7, resolve to meditate on the law of the Lord day and night. Consciously and deliberately setting your mind on things above by reading the Bible daily, not in a way that is intellectual or opening it and that is mechanical, but by allowing God to speak to you, to go into your mind, to go into your heart and transform your being. Chew it over, thinking on it as you're waiting for something. Don't flick open Facebook, but chew on the Word of God. Be the person who meditates on the law of the Lord day and night. And as you do it, God will change you. Ask him and he will change you. There are many tools out there. My wife is old school. She uses a book for reading her Bible. She has got she reads 3 chapters of the Bible a day, and then she reads a short paragraph from this reading plan that just kind of unpacks some of that. There are apps out there. My favorite app is called the Explore Reading app, which gives you a chapter or a passage a day, gives you some questions to think about through the day so that you can be the person who meditates on the law of the Lord day and night. I know that there are some here who struggle with their eyesight or struggle with reading. I want to recommend the Dwell app to you. I know Hillary has got the Dwell app on her phone. You can check it out on her phone. It is it's the Bible read by David Suchet. So you can have Poirot reading the Bible to you as you get up over your cornflakes or whatever you. I want to encourage you to meditate on the law of the Lord day and night, to read God's word, but to allow it just to rattle inside you in 2022. Let your mind be reshaped by the King of the universe into something beautiful. Let me say today, if you're not a follower of Jesus, then I want to encourage you to look into him. Following him will be the best decision you've ever made. But if you are a follower of Jesus, resolve to be a tree planted by living water. So when someone says, "What's your New Year's resolution?" Say, "I want to be a tree. I want to be a tree planted by streams of living water, which yield their fruit in its season, and their leaves do not wither. In all that they do, they prosper." My prayer is that 2022 would be your best year yet, that it would be my best year yet, that it would be our best year yet as we meditate on God's word and we allow him to shape us and take us to exciting and joyful places. Let's pray to that effect. Our Father, we do praise you for your word. We praise you that it is living and active, and we pray that we would be those people who do not follow the lane of the wicked, that we would not run to the darkness, but we would run to the light. We pray, Lord, that we would individually be like trees planted by streams of living water. We pray, Lord, that we would see fruit in our lives and fruit in this church. And Lord, we do pray that as you prosper us, you would prosper the works of our hands, and that we would know much delight and much joy in your name. We pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. We're going to respond in song.